Hello and welcome to the ARZ monthly teleconference held on Tuesday, the 19th of January, 2021. Dwayne, would you like me to do the roll call?
Yes, please.
All right, from ICANN board, Kaveh Ranjbar.
Present.
From PTI, Kim Davies.
Present.
From the ESSAC, Jeff Houston.
Yep.
ARSAC, Daniel Migo.
Yeah, I'm here.
ASO, Carlos Martinez.
Yeah, present.
IETF, Tim April.
Present.
RYSG, Howard Eland.
Yes, ma'am.
CCNSO, Peter Koch.
Yes, present.
And the RZM, Dwayne Wessels.
Yes, this is Dwayne. Thanks, Danielle. All right, thanks for the roll call. So hopefully everyone can see their screens, the agenda we have today. I'm hoping this might be a kind of a short meeting, but we'll see. We're gonna, after we review the minutes, we'll talk about the election and then we'll talk about our two work items. So anyone have modifications or anything they'd like to add to the agenda at this point? You can let us know in chat or when we go for the AOB call at the end. All right, so let's move on to the minutes from the last meeting. Back in December, we had a meeting and Danielle split them up on the screen for us. Everyone should have had time to review. Does anyone have comments or concerns about the minutes from December? Doesn't seem like it. So I think we can approve those and have them published on our website. And I think, Danielle, you wanted to go through the election procedure, correct? Or did you want me to do that?
I can do that. So the upcoming chair election, Dwayne's official second term will end at the close of our March meeting, which is scheduled for March 16th. By the ARZERC operational procedures, nominations will then open on the 16th of February, which is also our February meeting, and go through till the 9th of March, a week before the March meeting. ARZERC members can self-nominate or nominate another ARZERC member. The only person who cannot run for chair this time is Dwayne Wessels, as he is currently term limited. And then at our March meeting on the 16th of March, if there's only one candidate, the ARZERC can confirm the new chair by acclamation. If there are two or more candidates, I will organize an online anonymous vote to take place for 7 days, and then we'll announce our new chair. Does anybody have any questions about this process? All right, seeing none.
Daniel, just quick. Oh, sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry. This is Howard. Just a quick question. If we do have more than one nominee on the 16th, which we'll know, if the nominations close on the 9th and you only have one, if you have more than one, then could we not be doing the voting between the 9th and the 16th? So in the 16th, we do indeed have our chair. So we don't have that gap. I know it's a weak gap, but just feel like you could do your second bullet under the March meeting. So you could do that on the 9th through the 16th.
So I think the selection procedure is laid out. Dwayne is the chair until the close of the March meeting. The nominations are supposed to close 7 days before that meeting, the meeting where the election would take place. And it's not until that meeting that we're supposed to determine whether or not to do an online poll afterwards, if that makes sense. We send.
I'm just saying we could have a 1 week where we have a chair elect, right? And they could take the reins during the March meeting.
Yeah, they could. The I guess, going strictly by the procedure, I would still be the chair for the March meeting. I don't remember exactly why this schedule, you know, ended up the way it did, but it might be because people wanted that extra week in between in order to, you know, in order to hear from the candidates, sort of to, you know, a little statement of of candidacy, I guess, about what they, why you should vote for them.
Fair enough. I was just trying to streamline a bit, but I'm fine either way.
Yeah, I think in terms of schedule, we're okay. And Danielle has the link to the procedures up there. So I think I'm guessing we should follow those. Kaveh, did you want to say something before?
No, thank you. Yes, I had a question, but I looked at the operational procedures and find it. I just wanted to know where it's spelled out about the anonymousness of the vote and all of that, but I saw it clearly in the procedures. So very clear. Thank you.
Okay. And I mean, if anyone cares, we did use that procedure last time. There were two candidates, and we did have an online anonymous vote, and I think it all worked out very well. The only thing that, you know, when I think about the election, the only thing that comes to my mind is I remember there were some sort of unresolved questions about the way that the chair's term aligns up with members' terms, because some members have 1 year appointments or 2 years appointments that may not necessarily be in sync with the chair election. But in my opinion, that's something that we can deal with when that becomes a problem. All right, so then I guess we should move on to the work items. Is that all right with everyone? First up, let's talk about signing the root zone name server data. As you've seen on the list, Peter and I have been having sort of a very slow conversation about this. I think we might be in a pretty good place with respect to you know, some of Peter's concerns. I'm not aware of any other really outstanding concerns about this document. People have had a chance to share it with their constituencies. There's no lingering issues or comments in the Google Doc at this point. But Peter, maybe you want to take a moment to share any, you know, concerns you still have or your thoughts that you put on the list.
Thanks, Dwayne. This is Peter for the record. My hope was that the message I sent would say it all, but I understand that it was too close to the meeting so that not everybody might have seen it. So basically what I said is in response to your question regarding concerns about why the root is special or why the document might be read in a way that would suggest the root is special is exactly this signing of the delegation. And then we had that back and forth, well, not too much back and forth, but that one more two-way exchange, whether it's really about the delegation or the names. And I think I tried to put some of the history in the document, understanding that most everybody on the call actually was part of the history, interestingly enough. Anyway, so I do think that the changes that were applied at one point are good enough. And since we are only suggesting to now really, really conduct this research, I don't think there's any harm. The other question I had is what makes the difference if we now again say, in addition to RSEC, that the board please really, really now follow the advice in RSEC 28. But I think I've been convinced that, again, this brings it up on the table and people who could become could be involved believe that it would help. I have nothing to add or nothing to object to moving this forward. I must say, though, that I failed to circulate this and the other document with the community other than some of the others. We don't really have a completely closed list. So anything that I would post to the usual CCNSO list would likely be in the public, and I didn't feel comfortable to do that.
All right, I see your hand up, Jeff, but I just want to respond to that last point, Peter. I think we talked about this last meeting. I don't think you should be concerned about this not being public. I think it's fine to post it on, you know, open lists or relatively open lists. This document is the URL for this document is referenced in our mailing list archives, which are public, and this and the other documents I think have been circulated to other groups already. So I think that should be fine if you still want to do that, for example.
Thanks a lot. Yes.
Jeff, go ahead.
Look, I think Peter Cochrane's an interesting question about why are we recommending this when RSAC 28 already recommended this? And I think there is a useful answer here that we're forestalling what could have been an inevitable question that, quite frankly, anyone who took just RSAC 28 might well say, well, what does RZERC think about this? Because it's a change in, if you will, the fundamental contents of the root, because you're mucking around with the answers on the priming query. And so in some ways, saying it again is actually a good thing because it forestalls this extended delay that's been going on in any case. I think it's a useful piece of work to study. My suspicion is that the algorithms we use for signing the root might well come into this, because I think any naive reader who looks at 3,800 bytes in response to a priming query is going to have a hissy fit. You know, it just doesn't work that cleanly at that kind of size. So I like the recommendations. I think it's precisely a useful recommendation and a useful reminder to actually kick this study off. And quite frankly, I think there's enough capacity in the organization, ICANN.org, to actually undertake this study in a meaningful way. So I'm happy with this as it stands. If you honestly want me to go back to ESSAC and say, yes, please, I can do so, but I didn't see much point considering that the recommendations are what I would call relatively vanilla, but useful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Peter, your hand is back up, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I believe the hands don't disappear automatically. I'll take it down. As with so many other occasions, Jeff opened my eyes, and it's actually a remark that you, Dwayne, made on the list as well. Supporting the recommendation and asking the organization to conduct the study claims the territory for RZERC, or say the responsibility for RZERC, I should say, to evaluate the result and then derive maybe a recommendation towards the board from that very result. So that's the policy side of why we would do this. And I don't think we need to add that to the document, but it might be helpful to gauge the common understanding that when we recommend this, RZERC also commits to and believes it should review the result and derive a recommendation from that. Thanks.
Okay, great. So in my opinion, I guess this document is ready for us to vote on. Maybe not today, but I think that we have sort of taken it as far as we can, and we have lots of feedback on it. I guess Steve is not on the call today, is he?
No, he had a conflicting leadership call.
Yeah. So Steve is usually very, very good about this. Danielle, do you know exactly what we should do next? I know, I think Steve would suggest a sort of 48-hour stable period and then a vote, maybe an email vote would be good.
I can consult with him after the call, but I think that's the correct procedure to do.
Okay.
just for the record, this is Daniel Migo speaking. I asked for ERSAC to provide feedbacks. I've received none, so I guess there is an implicit agreement on that, an implicit support on that document. And I've seen also, but Tim.
Yeah, I was going to say, IETF had three people that were supportive of it. No other comments came in.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I saw as well. Danielle and I and Steve will work together to, I guess, to do the last steps in formalizing this for a vote and put that on the list, I think. All right, unless there's anything else people want to talk about this, we can move on to the other work item. All right, so this is the document on adding zone data protections to the root zone. And I'm optimistic that we are in a similar state with this document. I can update you a little bit on the status of zone MD as an RFC. The draft or the RFC is now in the auth 48 state. It has been assigned an RFC number, although I think only the authors and chairs and whatnot know that at this point. But it's getting closer to completion. Myself and the authors have sent back some feedback, to the RFC editor. I don't know exactly how long it's going to take, to get published, but it feels like not very long to me. Again, I think there's no outstanding issues. So, it's been a while since we've had comments, changes to this document that has been circulated with constituent groups and so on. But I'll open it up to the floor to discussion about this document and if anyone thinks it's not ready for the final step of voting and approval. Jeff?
Yeah, thanks. Look, there's a bit of a race condition between RFC and this document. And quite frankly, I don't think it's worth doing this in parallel, considering that if it is an RFC, we should say so by the time the recommendation goes to, well, I assume the board technical committee. Point one. So if delay in waiting for an RFC to be an RFC is of the order of weeks, not months, I would suggest we wait and reference the RFC. Suggestion two is typographical. In the previous document we looked at, the recommendation